Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts. I am here today with Jason Lena, lead advisor for the Resource Planning Group. Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Awesome. So I'm going to take you back in time a little bit and ask you what inspired you to become a financial advisor?
I guess the short story. I was on the investment management side for several years, institutional investment management side, and which meant analyzing a company's balance sheet, cash flows, income, running discounted cash flow models to really evaluate the value of businesses, of public companies. And while that was challenging, I didn't really feel a connection with the end user because there was an end user, but I never met that end user, that person who benefited from whatever work I was doing. And I wanted to really I aspired to reach that person on a more personal level, and so I felt like this industry, financial advising, was the natural progression where I could actually work with real, living, breathing people, get to know them on a personal level, and moreover, help them in more ways than just investment management, adding up, you know, 0.5%, 0.25% of return here or there, but helping them with matters like tax planning, estate planning, retirement planning, helping send their kids to college, so forth, where there was real, true value to be added beyond just investment management. And so I've been doing this for, 12 or so years now, and really enjoying all of those aspects I just described of it.
And how did you go straight from the institutional management to the resource planning group, or were there some transitions in between?
Business school in between. So I was on the institutional investment side for a couple of years, went to business school, went back to the institutional investment side for a short while, and then for about the last, 12 years, I've been on the financial planning side.
Okay, and you also have quite a few letters after your name. I believe you are a certified financial planner and a chartered fund analyst. Is that right? Chartered financial analyst?
Yeah, chartered financial analyst. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And if you were to put, accountants, lawyers, and financial planners in a room, just like if you asked 10 economists to define something, you might get 10 different answers. How would you define estate planning? When a client, a layperson, asks you, what's estate planning? What is your answer?
Yeah, for us, or for me, I guess, it's really it's a number of things. So you put me on the spot to make it one thing. But I think at the end of the day, it's really planning where someone's assets will go after they're no longer around, and having control over that versus giving that control to the state where they live.
And what do you like most about estate planning?
There's a number of ways to go there. I think everybody needs it. So and everybody can be helped by it, because if someone has done nothing, they've done something just by doing nothing. I mean, they basically said, okay, I want the state where they live to control how my assets are dispersed upon death, and I want the state to control the distribution of my accounts and so forth. And so, like, from the standpoint of what do I like most about it, it's really helping the client decide, hey, where should my estate go when I'm no longer here to control it, and how should that be dispersed in a tax-efficient, tax-effective manner, be it income tax, gift tax, or estate tax. So, like, how it's just, I think, solving the challenge of how can we get assets and investments where we want them to go, or where the client wants them to go, in the most efficient and effective manner. I don't make any judgments on whether they should go to kids or grandkids or charities or church or, you know, there's not a right answer there, but it's really getting down to where do you, Mr. and Mrs. Client, want the assets to go, and then let's figure out the best way to get them to those beneficiaries.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see clients making when planning their estate?
Well, number one is not planning at all. So I alluded to that before. We see, and I suspect you see, plenty of clients who really don't have an estate plan. And that can be that they have a will that's 25 years old, or they have no will at all. And I was actually in a meeting yesterday with an estate attorney and a client, and it's just a will that was 7 to 8 years old, and the estate language and the estate law has changed dramatically in just the last 3 to 4 years, and so you have wills that were written 7, 8 years ago without really thinking that the law could change as dramatically as it did, and it potentially, those older wills create all kinds of problems by potentially leaving the surviving spouse without assets to support the surviving spouse, and so when you ask, you know, what are the most common mistakes? That's a big one. Not having a will, that does things that are unintentional. I oftentimes see clients leaving assets to people that they really don't want to leave them to, and that was just because a will was old or because a will does things that they didn't really intend. Good example may be a lot of times in second marriages or in cases where there are no kids, we see clients who are unintentionally disinheriting potentially one side of the family just by whoever dies first. That side of the family can often gets or potentially gets nothing. And so I don't know that there's one common problem, but just lots of problems with estate planning, just given that the law has changed so dramatically in the last 5 years.
That makes sense. What are some of the ways you help folks solve those problems?
Sure. I think foremost, it's explained to them what happens. Like, many people have this will, have this document, if they do have it, that was written however many years ago, and they don't know, they don't really understand what would happen or what the problems would be. So we put together just a one-page summary of the documents, the key documents. So that, I've been talking a lot about the will, but that would also include power of attorney, and then the medical advance directives. We put together a one-page summary, which summarizes and checks boxes if things are in place, and leaves boxes unchecked if things are missing, and then summarizes, okay, here's some of the biggest problems that we see, not as estate attorneys, but just as financial planners, with the documents. And so just putting those problems in front of people oftentimes is enough to get them to act and understand. So I think, I forget your question exactly, but I think one of the most critical pieces we play is to really make them aware of what the documents do and how that may be a problem. I mean, we're basically looking, our job is to look for what could potentially be problems in the future.
That makes a lot of sense. Can, obviously you've got policies in place to protect the confidentiality of your clients, as we do. Can you give me a hypothetical recent client? We'll call them Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Tell me an interesting story about a client that came in that wasn't your, let's say, normal average just need to update my will and get my healthcare proxies in place and sort of what their situation was and what they wanted to accomplish. I think people learn a lot by hearing stories and say, oh my God, I resonate with that. I should get in and see Jason.
Yeah. Sure. So I deal with a lot of what I call mid-career professionals, families with kids. The parents are, let's say, in their 40s, still have a healthy amount of their career to go, and they oftentimes have young children, and so it may be a 5 to 7 year old. So I'm thinking of a specific case where someone came in with someone has kids, and I think 8 and 10 years old, and a lot of assets and most of their financial assets are in IRAs and 401ks. So let's call it $1 million of assets that they've saved, which a lot for someone in their mid 40s, and 90% of those are in 401ks and IRAs. Well, client had a will that they'd done 5 years ago, and I don't remember. There may have been issues with the will, but what we explained was, look, none of your major 90% of your financial assets are not going to pass through the will, right? They're going to go to the beneficiary designations when you die. Look and see who is named on the beneficiary designation, and it's going to be, right now, it's the surviving spouse, but if the surviving spouse is not there, it's an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. And, okay, so like all kinds of problems with that. First being that an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old can't legally own accounts. And so leaving $500,000 to each of them, the state's going to have to appoint someone to serve as the custodian or trustee for those assets until they reach the age of 18 or 21, depending on the state. Second, you may not, okay, that happens, but you may not want your 18 or 21-year-old to inherit whatever that $500,000, that $500,000 grows to between now and then. Could be a lot of money, and they get it all in that day. And so, maybe we should discuss a phased payout or a phased payout of that of those proceeds. They're 8 and 10. You don't know what they're going to be like when they're 18, 21. So, that's number two. Number three, you want to name the trustee for that, not have the state where you live name the trustee. That was number four. I forget what was going on, but there's many problems with situations like those, and we see that often. Most people, and you probably see this as well, most people think, okay, I've got my wills and my trust's all established, I'm good, and I can put away this document in my drawer, and it's signed, and we're all set, but don't realize that that may require updating beneficiaries on their 401k, IRA, life insurance, annuities, or retitling accounts. Sometimes you see it can be accounts that are titled joint, but they really need to separate them and make them part of a revocable trust or put them in individual names. So, someone goes to the estate attorney and they pay a bunch of money and they get documents in good order, and then there's 7 steps they have to do afterwards to make the documents actually work, and they don't do any of them. And so the documents are essentially useless in that case.
That would be a giant waste of time, money, and an unfortunate problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is an ideal client for you?
I go back to what I said before. I work with a lot of mid-career professionals, and typically families. I just enjoy the challenges that presents, helping think about the difference between retirement savings and saving for college or helping kids. So it tends to be that mid-career professional family. Not a lot of business owners, but more executives, corporate executives. That tends to be the client that I work best with. And really, it goes back to the fact that do a lot of planning, and there's a lot of planning needs for that type of person. So be it health insurance, life insurance, disability. You go down the list of insurance, auto, property, casualty. All those boxes are checked. Those are all key needs for someone who's mid-40s, 50s, kind of middle of their career. Then you've got the balance of retirement versus education savings. How do we save effectively for retirement? Where should our next dollar be saved? You've got the potential to help with taxes. So I could go on and on. I mean, you got estate planning, obviously. So there's just a lot of planning needs for that type of person, as I hopefully have described.
I think you've done a great job. What is the first step that you would want them to take with you?
So someone comes in, usually by way of referral, and we'll sit down for an hour, hour and a half, and really just let them talk, let them tell us about themselves, tell us about their family, about their goals, and then start to tell us a little bit about their financial affairs, how much they spend and what their assets are, and you know, what do they have, life insurance, and what kind of employer match they have, what kind of health insurance they have, all those pieces. So we spend 60 to 90 minutes doing that. That gives us enough information usually to build out what I call a skeletal financial plan, which is really just a draft of a retirement plan to give a sense of hey, does this from a big, you know, big picture view, does this work? Can, you know, if your objective is to retire at 63 and have two kids and send them off to college and pay for most of that and to save this much per year, does that work? And so, like, that's the fundamental question I think that most people need that answer. It's not, you know, there's people say, well, I want to make an 8% return per year. Well, that's all well and good, but if you make an 8% return per year and your goal is to retire at 63, but that doesn't allow you to do it because you didn't have, you know, it wasn't tax efficient or whatever, like, that doesn't do you any good. And so at the end of the day, it's not about do I make an 8% or 10% or 12% or 6% return, or do I save this much in taxes. It's about does my overall retirement plan work. And so that's where we start. And I say, what does that look like? That was a long answer. But those two meetings we do, and we do those complimentary, really just let the prospect see what we do before we actually charge them. So, like, you get to see our work and see what we're about and see what value we hope to bring to the table. And then you can make it, and, you know, the prospect gets to make a decision on whether they want to hire us or not.
I think that's probably the whole seeing the work in advance is probably different than most financial advisors. For our folks who are reading this or listening to this and are interested, resonating with what you're saying, interested in learning more, what website do you want us to send them to? What phone number do you want them to call? How do you want them to take that next step?
Yeah, sure. Our website is www.rpgplanner.com. So that's RPG as in Resource Planning Group, rpgplanner.com. And our phone number is 770-671-9500.
Thanks so much. This has been Estate Planning Experts with Jason Lena. We greatly appreciate you spending some time with us. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thanks, Seth. Enjoyed it.